guest on our program, visiting with the ever-popular, legendary John Rosa, Landfill Administrator, Recycling Coordinator.
Well, good morning.
In the greater Boone Metropolitan area.
Metropolitan.
Our service area, I should emphasize. People keep asking, you know, every once in a while I see somebody asking, or they'll ask me, you know, well, why are we taking, you know, free dumping from, you know,
Sherdan,
or things
Farnhamville.
Like that.
Yeah.
Or you get down, you know, because I said they're part of the service area. So
yeah, it's all included. You know, it's not just Boone County. We are the Boone County Landfill. We're still part of this Central Iowa Solid Waste Management Association thing. But it,
hey, the DNR set it up.
Yeah,
and it wasn't
right.
me. So, I didn't draw the boundaries there.
So that includes all of Greene County, mm-hmm. but not Jefferson, and then a few other outliers. We get Woodward and Granger, the city of,
and then Farnhamville,
Farnhamville, and Lauraville and Summers, way up in Calhoun County.
For fun. We don't know, but...
Just to mix it up a little bit,
make it a little more interesting. Don't they?
They do. Yeah, right, they sure do. Well, and then we throw in the whole secondary service area, which is...
Well, that would be Ames and Story County.
Yeah, so...
So, the big issues we talked about in the past, and again, was Metro Waste had been taking the C&D, the construction demolition. End of June, they said... No more. You're at this point, still, you're taking it in. What's happening?
Yeah, it's back. So kind of like how it was before, of all the MSW, the C&D, all the stuff from Ames and Story County coming to us. The stuff that cannot be burnt in their system over in Ames then comes to us. Mm-hmm. We have Marshalltown, Marshall County Landfill agreed to take some C&D. So we got some certain areas that we can send that direction, because you get on the other side of Story County, it's a lot closer to
go. A lot easier for them. To go that way.
Yeah. And they want big loads, big C&D loads over there. So we're able to get a couple thousand ton going their direction, which is certainly helpful. I wish it was more. That was the whole goal with Metro taking some of that stuff for us, was to get rid of as much as possible. And now we have less amount, but I'm thankful that Marshall County Landfill stepped up and said, we take some, we can handle this much, and, you know, certain limitations, which... You know, I get it. It's going to eat up space somewhere, and everyone's going to take care of their own. And that's certainly become an issue around the state. So, of all landfills.
Yeah, you guys are not the only ones working through this, are you?
No. It's becoming more apparent, and you see some landfills out there that have an outrageous amount of space available, and they're well built for, you know, a century or two. You know, frankly, it's amazing how much space they have. They have that option to get some farm fields nearby, and they had acquired those over the years. We don't have many options where we are, so we're all kind of experiencing that pinch, if you will, of, you know, we're going to run out of room. So now we got to maximize what we have and make sure we're taking care of it as much as we can.
As I recall, back in the early 90s, Ames and Story County went through this.
Of no landfill.
Landfill, that's why we're their secondary. So that's the secondary part for us. So.
Yeah, they got full over there, and then they needed something, and they came our direction.
Yeah. So what you are taking, and again, the bottom line is, we know eventually they are going to Carroll, which does have ample room at this point in time, it appears.
They will, yeah.
And so we know that they will be heading that way, but it's going to be, basically, it's going to be a couple of years.
Yeah, it is. And it was something that we kind of knew, you know, the whole C&D going to Metro Waste last fiscal year was, it was kind of a bonus, frankly, because we were kind of locked in with Ames and Story County as the provider, as the secondary servicing landfill. So they were ours, and then we were trying to find another spot. In the meantime, where, and then, you know, it was starting to become apparent that it was to Carroll. You know, we're kind of committed to taking it anyway, frankly, so that we were able to get rid of that this past year was helpful. Just kind of a bonus to it, I guess, to get the process. Trying to get it jump started, but ultimately it didn't work out as well as we hoped. So now we kind of have to help them out for a couple of years, help Story County out for a couple of years while they get their transfer station developed and built and functioning. So
you know, I know when you meet with the supervisor, and some people say, yeah, I tired of hearing all this all the time too, but because we have to have some, you're tired of talking about it, I'm sure. But I know when you meet with the supervisors and, you know, they'll say, well, we want these restrictions, we want this, or we have, you know, let's put these dollar amounts on and things like that. The bottom line is DNR is directing where people are going.
So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's why they say you are the second, you're the secondary. So this is the area where they will go unless you can make arrangements with somebody else.
Yeah. Yep. Kind of
and
up
then,
to us.
Then they have to approve it too.
Right, yeah. They have to bless it. And you know, their process or their role, I guess, in this whole process has been, you know, honestly, there's out of planning area agreements that you can make on waste to go somewhere else. Mm-hmm. And basically, it's like, what would be a good example? Suddenly, someone wants to bring us some odd special waste.
A year ago.
When flooding.
Spencer.
Yeah.
Yep. That was...
Yeah, and of all things, DNR called around and asking landfills, can you take some of this stuff from the flooding in Spencer? And it was like, wow, that's a long ways to to go. But they were desperate to find places for it to go. Ultimately, I said no, which I hated to do because I'd like to help out. But we're already in a space, airspace crunch, and it's like, I don't know if I should say, yeah, we'll take it from
another
one. I'm guessing
when they called you, I know this is not the kind of question you want, but...
Even the DNR guy was like, it's okay. You can say no. I understand. It's like, okay, I hate to, but I have to say no.
So they got to be, I mean, because we're not the only ones, and they're doing this statewide. They've got to be, it's kind of a chessboard thing, moving things around. They can go here. Eventually, and why we keep talking about it is eventually, at some point down the road, and we're hoping to extend it as far out as possible. Mm-hmm. We're going to have to do something to take our municipal solid waste and C&D somewhere else.
It's kind of a conundrum, I guess. It's difficult. You look at certain landfills that are filling up, and sometimes they're small ones, limited space. You know, in the grand scheme of thing, the amount of airspace or the amount of acres that we own, we're pretty small. Others have significantly larger ones, but there's some that are smaller, of course, and they're able to do. Those that are looking at capacity, and then what? Well, they become a transfer station. Yeah, but then what? Where does it go as a transfer station? So it's probably going to go to a bigger one, a bigger landfill nearby, a regional one. So maybe that's what's going to develop more often now is these landfills that have been functioning smaller, they might become more open to other things as they develop control over where the waste goes. And so now you're suddenly going to regional and bigger landfills. So are we going to get rid of a lot of smaller ones and make bigger ones? Or are we going to get away from this mindset that of NIMBY, not in my backyard, and we're not going to allow more landfills to be built because, you know, people don't want them? Well, something's going to have to change, whether it's regional landfills, bigger ones, you know, massive ones, or else opening up the door to the possibility of more landfills in certain areas. So,
and people will go back and say, well, you should do what Ames did. Just do the burning for power. And that when did they start that? That was back in the
70s.
So, but it's really gotten to the point where it is not that efficient anymore.
Yeah, and it's problematic. You know, it doesn't, what you're burning in the system, you know, they're burning gas now, burns nice and easy. You start mixing in the dirty garbage. You know, they don't like the garbage that comes through, and then it's being burnt for, for energy. Well, that has... residue, it has ash, it has, you know, moisture levels to it, so it has a mixture of chemicals that cause problems in their system, so they don't like it. The power plant itself doesn't enjoy the garbage coming into being burnt, so they don't like that.
You're
part
telling
so they're
me
not
there's
supporting.
No easy answer,
so
huh?
Exactly. I mean, it's always a problem, just burn it. Well, okay, but, you know, here's the problem. Just like backyard, you know, burning, people that burn barrels out in the country and, just burn it all. Let's do more burning. Well, you see and smell some of that stuff that's being burnt in someone's burn barrel, not good to the environment either. So that's, you know, there's a problem. So there's always something else to consider. And that's, I've certainly learned that in this process and at the landfill after I've become involved with that now, to say like, okay, let's make this decision. Well, what are the implications? What are the ripple effects? What do we do? What about this, this, this? And so there's, seems like there's no easy answers sometime, and we're certainly experiencing one right now with how we're going to manage our space and make sure that we maximize it, yet still do the job that we're supposed to be doing for our service area.
Yeah. So, and again, we've emphasized to people before, it's not like going to close. Well, there for a while when we were getting constantly taking all the C&D and and the municipal solid waste from Ames and Story County, your lifespan was going down exponentially. It was dropping quickly.
Yeah.
Because 30 years ago, we were talking, yeah, we got 60, 70 years.
We're good. Yeah. Well, now it's down much less. We still keep taking the high amounts of waste every year with all the stuff coming from Ames and Story County. You know, it really cuts down our life expectancy, probably in the 20s. And that's, you know, getting less and less. It's amazing how much stuff comes in. But also, you know, as I try to not just say, well, we double the waste coming in, you know, that cuts your life in half. I would venture to say that it's more, because it's certainly more difficult to compact 400 tons of garbage every day as it is to do 200 tons of garbage every day. Just simple, like trying to smash the garbage in a garbage container, you know, try to maximize that space in your kitchen garbage can, smash down the garbage. It'd be a lot easier if you did it, you know, every day and compact it more, versus waiting until it's all the way full and then trying to smash, you know, you try to smash 20 pounds of garbage versus 5 pounds of garbage. Obviously going to be easier to do five, you can get better compaction. So higher amounts of garbage coming in, you're not going to get compaction levels that you would hope. So those are some of the challenges. And that's an extra effect on taking away some airspace.
I don't want to just blame Ames and Story County. I mean, that's a volume thing there. But your volumes, even locally, have been increasing.
Yeah.
Again, people, you're throwing away a lot of stuff.
Yeah, we keep making more. It seems like we're not doing as good of a job as maybe we can about recycling, but also reusing and just stop having stuff. You know, we do the citywide cleanups, and if you've heard me, you know, if you listen to my spiel about that, sometimes is, why do we keep doing these cleanups? Why do we keep having it? And sometimes it's abuse of the program to say, well, we'll just throw away my regular garbage in there too. And that's not the intent of that service. It's not just take your household garbage and throw it out into the citywide cleanup collection. But why do we always keep cleaning these things up? Why do we keep going back and cleaning up someone's property and taking more stuff? And it's kind of enabling the process to say, okay, we'll clean it up, but no more. And then they keep throwing out more, and then we keep taking more, so people get more, and then they throw away more. It doesn't help with our cause, frankly.
We just keep working at it too.
Yep.
Recycling, speaking of the recycling, and again, for us, again, we're caught in that quandary. The volume we have, is it enough to feed somebody that has a larger market? So the best thing you've been doing is doing the cardboard and doing that separately. It seems to be working pretty well so far.
Overall, it's helpful. You know, it's not a money maker.
You're still fine-tuning it.
Yeah. But we're spending less money. Yeah. Recycling is going to be expensive. It just is. So we're trying to minimize our expenses on it. Taking the cardboard, collecting it separately in our business service to go around, pick up a packer load of cardboard and then take it down and sell it instead of throwing it into our semi and filling that up unnecessarily fast. So diverting that away from it and actually getting some money back, trying to defray some of the costs that we experience with recycling. And, you know, it's tough. Recycling's expensive. Still the right thing to do. Still got to do it well. Still got to do as much as we can with that. Of the stuff that we can control, because the more we can send somewhere else, the more space we'll have in our landfill. So it's just another effort to save our airspace.
I'm guessing more than once a week, you probably have someone say, well, this should be recycled.
Yeah, a very common statement.
Yeah. Yep. And it is, if you go to a different locale, maybe over in Cedar Rapids, you might have a better market.
Yeah.
You know. Things like that.
Yep. So. Could be a county away. It could be across the state. And maybe somewhere it is recyclable. Just maybe it isn't here. But know the rules and just abide by them.
Well, we do have good people who do metal, white metal in particular, appliances. We have people that will handle those. You've got the I don't know, what do you call it, the electronics.
Yep, electronics, TVs and screens and all electronics.
We have people that you can work with on it, too. And again, those are specialty areas.
So. Yeah. Not something we throw into our household recycling process, but in the same area. But we set in separate containers for all the all the electronics recycling. So, you know, we take not just saying TVs and screens, but you know, take the whole computer system. But it's electronics. It can be printers and tablets, and we can even do phones and that kind of stuff. Yeah. But anything electronic, not like appliances, not small appliances, but something that's electronic, an electronic device.
So, get that. Again, there are people that will. Again, take them down. I don't know. I don't think we ship them off to China anymore.
Nope.
That's what they were doing.
Yeah, basically
and
everything.
And now we have people that are working on recovering the precious metals and stuff. So, let's talk a little bit about some of your long-range projects. Again, the Force Main, I know you had gone to the supervisor and said, let me contact WHKS. They have the specialty and this kind of thing. Because we're talking a sewer line, basically, is what we're doing.
Right.
And what is it, HLW is your regular one that helps you with all the other landfill stuff, engineering. But so they did a concept for you and kind of put together some parameters, kind of.
Yeah.
No finalized things, but really an idea of how this would look, how it could work, and the board seem at least wants to take a look and move forward potentially.
Yeah, it's been a process that we started with, a while ago. We'll just leave it at that.
Several years ago.
Yeah. Some of the discussion about should we do this, can we do this, start looking at dollar figures of, well, what do we think it might be? Well, we didn't want it to be like, actually, okay, let's get a little more serious. Let's find out. Let's get a really good estimate instead. So that's part of what WHKS has put together through. So we released an RFP asking other engineers to come up with a design, what it would cost, a conceptual draft, not a full design, but a concept, and then what can we expect for the cost to construct it. So they did that. We got a hold of, worked with WHKS. They put together a draft. They did this, submitted it, said here's what you can expect, so here's a dollar figure, and you know, it came in a little higher than what we were thinking, but everything gets more expensive. This was you know, 2-3 years ago we were talking about this many dollars. Now we're looking at like a $2 million project, frankly, of to pump the leachate from the landfill all the way out to, or all the way into town to a manhole to get it into the water treatment system. So we're working on that. Now next steps is, okay, well, this is what it's probably going to cost. This is what we can expect. Are we ready to do this? I know I'm in favor of it. I know my guys will be in favor of it, too.
But you are talking years after the landfill closes. I mean, this is still expected to be operational.
Yeah.
You're going to have that requirement.
Right. Yeah, it's something we can use now. We can use it as soon as it's built. We can start pumping leachate instead of putting it into a truck and then driving into town and releasing it there at 3,000 gallons, you know, in 15, 20 minutes. So we can release it in a more steady stream. But we can start using that immediately once it's constructed. And then we can be using it every day, every week, every month for the next, well, I mean, if we're talking our life expectancy at the landfill, if we can make it to 30 years, cool, but you know, there's another 20-30 years after that by DNR regulations that we need to monitor out the landfill itself, and part of that is controlling leachate. It's still going to produce leachate after we close. There's still going to be liquid that gets in, so it needs to be managed and controlled. So this is something we can still use instead of hiring someone after that to pump it and haul it into town like we're doing. This can be something that could be used for 50-60 years. So we talk about $2 million, a couple million dollars on, okay, if that's over 2 years or 5 years, maybe, wow, that's a lot, but we're talking 50 years, you know, that. And then it's like, oh, okay, spread that out, do some quick math on that. All right, yeah, that's not so terrible. It's still expensive, but
Still talking with the company interested in doing methane harvesting. I know you'd like it to be moving faster, so would the supervisors, but
yeah.
It's one of those still out there being considered.
Yep. I talked to one a landfill the other day. It was at a board meeting. Iowa Society of Solid Waste Operators. We were talking about it. He has worked with the same company, and they are up and running. And we discussed a few things. And he's like, he sensed my frustration that nothing's happening. He's like, you just got to be patient. You know, it's a work in progress. It takes a long time. It's probably even more so with this, you know, to make things happen. You know, be patient. Okay.
And again,
I'll try.
And again, the one thing we've talked about in the past is our landfill, not necessarily the size. I mean, you're about as small as they could go, again, for resources. Their technology is getting better. That's why they're even considering you.
Right. And I, you know, just want to make sure that it is proceeding and it's still in the works and still going to happen, because, you know, if not, we're wasting our time, and then maybe there's other companies out there too.
Yeah.
But we signed a gas rights agreement to allow them a couple of years to work on this and get developed and get it up and running. So
We'll see.
Clock's ticking. We're in the second year anyway of the 2 years. So
one thing still available, again, the Saturday Household Hazardous Waste.
Yep.
The October one will be in Madrid. We know that. But still, Saturday mornings, a couple hours, what, 8 to 10 or so?
Yeah. Kind of at the start, you know, 8 to 10, try to cut it off. Maybe we could probably go to 10:30. But, 8 to 10, bring out your household hazardous waste. We do the first Saturday of the month that we do that 8 to 10. So not every Saturday, but the first Saturday of each month. And if you can't make it that Saturday, we try to do it as a convenience, because we were just doing these one in June and one in October on the first Saturdays. And, you know, we thought, well, if we could just do more of those Saturdays and do our own collection at the landfill, then let's do that. So
you're always going to have someone that says, though, I can't be there on Saturday.
Yeah.
But during the week, I might... Well, schedule an appointment.
Yeah, that's right. Monday through Friday, we can do that. You just call ahead. Make sure we have someone that can help you out, take the stuff, store it away, handle it, instead of just, you can't just show up and, you know, hope for the best. But call ahead, schedule a time, make sure we have someone available. So we can do that Monday through Friday from 8 till 2. But then on a first Saturday of the month, you know, that's not one you have to call ahead about. You can just show up with your stuff. Bring out your oil-based paint, paint thinner, varnishes, brake cleaner, oh gosh, anything, flammable liquids, mineral spirits, old gasoline. We can take that. We try not to do oil. We'd like to have that go to a shop in town that can put it to use.
There's a few of them out there, too.
Yeah. So we take a lot of stuff. If you're unsure, call ahead and ask. Don't bring latex paint.
Because we'll send it home.
Yep, you get that back. That's not a hazardous waste. It might be an annoying waste, because if you're not going to use it, you just need to dry it out, and then it can go with regular garbage.
So many things.
And batteries.
We would be remiss if we didn't talk about batteries.
Let's always talk about those. The need to keep those out of recycling and the landfill itself. So bring all the batteries. All batteries collected. The ABCs. All batteries collected. Bring them out to the landfill. That's any time. You can drop them off at the office. You know, we do take car batteries even. We can put them in a different spot. We won't take those in the office. But all the way down to the alkalines, the simple things. But everything in between, the NiCads, the lithium, lithium ion, whatever the other letters are. Drawing a blank.
There's a bunch
There's special mixtures of them, if you will. The rechargeable ones, the tools, the battery packs, all that stuff.
Take them apart, pull them out.
Drop them off, let us sort them, we'll get them to a proper place to service it and keep them out of our landfill. So the reason is fires. We're just trying to avoid having fires. We don't want fires in our recycling center. We don't want fires in our garbage trucks. The garbage trucks coming in.
The haulers don't want them.
They don't want them, certainly. We don't want them rolling in there with smoke rolling out of them. And then we certainly don't want them in our landfill, because those will pop. There's a lot of stuff that can burn out of the landfill.
We mentioned methane.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Flammable.
Yes.
Those are some of the issues that are going on. So, batteries, ABCs. So, again, you changed that a while ago. We always used to say, throw the alkalines away.
Yeah.
You know what? Now, more fires than...
Yeah.
More risk of fire.
Just take the confusion out. It's hard to read. Sometimes they put the letter or the words. Is it alkaline? Is it NiCad? Is it lithium ion? What's on there? Just collect them all. Bring them all to us. Let us deal with that and sort them.
Do you have somebody that will take them? Companies that take them?
Yeah.
Yeah. So You got a source.
There is.
As long as we have a source, we can do things like that.
That's right.
John Rosa, Landfill Administrator, Recycling Coordinator on KWBG. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you.